Would you open your book to the book of Revelation in chapter 16? Let's get right to it. Time's running out. Oh, hallelujah. Revelation 16. Hallelujah. Revelation 16. Verse 12. Is everybody there? Let's read this together. And the sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its waters was dried up, so that the way of the kings from the east might be prepared. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs coming out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons performing signs which go out to the kings of the earth and the whole world to gather them to the battle of that great day of God Almighty. The Lord says, behold, I am coming as a thief. Blessed is he who watches and keeps his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. You know, when I read this a while back, I realized that, you know, God is allowing more demonic activity to be released. And we've talked about this before, and you're going to hear some things we've talked about already. But there is more demonic activity that's going to continue to be released. Demonic activity is going to increase, increase, and increase. You're going to see things get so bad it's ridiculous. We're seeing a lot of things get bad right now, aren't we? Amen. I mean, there is just so many foolish things. People are arguing. I mean, you can drive down the street and you see evil in people. I mean, it's not like, excuse me, you cut in front of me. It's like, I'm going to kill you. You know? And you feel that oppression and demonic force hitting you to where you got to be careful that you don't bite the bait. I'm not saying that thought doesn't come. Amen? I mean, I got attacked by my neighbor the other day. In fact, it was yesterday, I think. Yeah. I mean, I'm talking, I saw such evil in this woman, I had to beat down my flesh. I had to finally walk away before a pastor punched somebody in the mouth. And I had to walk away. It was so demonic evil. You know? It was wild. And I turned it over to my wife. You know, praise God. Here, you go talk to her. You're this neighbor. I'm not going in. I went to prayer. But it's just, I mean, over something very simple, you know, over something foolish, it's like, wow. And it just really hit me of how much more evil is manifesting. So much more and more. Amen? Yeah. And you know, there's a place that you and I have got to be in, and we've got to have the discernment to know what's going on and what's going on in the world. And I just want to share tonight about final warning. I want to share about some final warnings tonight. And I want to go to Joel chapter 2 first before we go further. Joel chapter 2, the book of Joel. In chapter 2. In verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also on my men servants and on my maid servants I will pour out my spirit in those days. And let me share something with you. God is still pouring out his spirit, isn't he? And God is still speaking to his people through dreams and visions, revelations. And the reason why I brought this up is because the Lord gave me a warning through a dream. And one of the warnings that was through the dream was the expression of, and I'd shared this dream before about I was grabbing people and shaking them and telling them, you don't belong here. He's coming soon. And I was shaking them. You don't belong here. He's coming soon. It was like these people knew, yeah, but they weren't willing to give up the way of their life. And that's what the shaking was about. It's like, man, you don't belong here. He's coming soon. And I finally turned around. I got on my knees. And I began to cry out. And I said, Father, they don't belong here. And I know you're coming soon. And I woke up. And it was more intense than that, but I'm just sharing it, the short version. And one of the things that the devil loves to do is blind us, doesn't he? And I'm sharing with you that the shaking in the church is happening so greatly. So greatly. You know, God pulled the Hebrews out of Egypt, put them in the wilderness to get Egypt out of them. The problem is some of them didn't want to give up Egypt. And that's what's going on in the body of Christ right now. There are just some believers that don't want to give up the world. They don't want to give up their ways and those attitudes and so forth. They don't want to give it up. And God is going to shake, and He's shaking big time right now. And that shaking is going to continue till His body becomes one. Until His body becomes one, and those who do not want to be one will be left. They'll either die and go home, hopefully. Now, if they die while serving the devil, you know where they're going. Amen. It was a warning. You know, the Bible tells us that we're to blow the trumpet. In fact, turn to Revelation 1. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 5, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood, has made us kings and priests to His God and Father, and to Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now listen, you and I have been called to be priests and kings. Now a king is a warrior, isn't it? Amen? And a priest is one who ministers to the Lord. One of the duties of the priest is to blow the trumpet. There's three purposes of blowing the trumpet. The first one is for gathering. The second one is for warning. And the third one is for battle. And the word trumpet here represents out of your mouth. Out of your mouth. So that means you and I must know the things of the Spirit so that we can warn, so that we can gather, and so we can prepare for battle. That's our responsibility as priests unto God. It is very important. First of all, you cannot be a warrior until you fulfill your priesthood. People try to become warriors, but they never fulfill their priesthood. And they end up bringing shame to the name of the Lord. Amen? So one of the things that we must do as priests and shout it on the housetops. When God gives you something in secret, there's a time for preparation. There's a time to shout it, isn't there? Amen. When the Lord gave me that dream, He didn't tell me, keep it to yourself. He said, tell my people, shake them. Shake them and let them know I am coming. Shake them and shake the world out of them. God gives us responsibilities, doesn't He? Amen. The Bible talks about officers in the body of Christ so that we all come into the unity and the faith of Jesus Christ. Amen. God places offices in the body of Christ so that we don't get tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every foolish thing that comes up. When people think something's a move of the Spirit and when it's not. Amen.
Amen.
It's not about chasing man, it's about chasing God. Amen. Glory to God. Go to Matthew 24. Final warning. I believe we're going to have a series of final warnings. Matthew 24. You know, we all kind of like know it in our spirit that something's about to happen. We know something's going on. We can't resist that. In fact, everything you're doing, the Holy Spirit is trying to quicken you and remind you that time is short. Don't get caught up. Know who you are. Matthew 24 and verse 3. Now, as He sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us when these things be. When will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And Jesus answered and said to them, take heed that no one deceives you. Say, deceives me.
Deceives me.
Hello, what's Satan's greatest weapon?
Deception.
Deception. Oh, hallelujah. Make sure no one deceives you, for many will come in my name saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled. Are we in wars and rumors of wars?
Yeah.
And it's getting worse, isn't it? For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in various places. And that is manifesting big time, isn't it?
Amen.
I mean, you turn on the news, there is so much famine, pestilence, earthquakes. It's increasing more and more and more. And he said, and these are the beginning of sorrows. He says, and they're going to deliver you up to tribulation. And they're going to kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be what? And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. Right now the gospel is being preached in almost every nation. That's one of the reasons why we went to Iraq. Daddy sent his army to Iraq to set up stations so the gospel can be preached in all those areas through radio and through TV. It's happening. We are so close. It's phenomenal. So close. Deceived. It says many will be deceived by false prophets. Wickedness will increase. Love will grow cold. But the gospel of the kingdom must be preached. In other words, repentance, filling of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I am the way, truth, and life, right? In other words, he is the resurrection. He's the one that died on the cross, rose, and sent the Holy Ghost. That must be preached. Because people need the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome temptation, don't they? Salvation is wonderful, but salvation without any power, hello? You need power. Everybody must work out their own salvation. And we need the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we? Praise God. We see this is beginning in sorrows. I truly believe we are in the beginning of sorrows, and who knows how long this beginning of sorrows is before tribulation. But that's next. We'll have tribulation, and then there'll be great tribulation. Each one of those will last 3.5 years. But right now, we are in the beginning of sorrows. Things are increasing. Things will get worse. We must be prepared. And one of the things the devil doesn't want you to do is be ready in or out of season. That's why you're in this room. To be ready in season and out. Hallelujah. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Starting at verse 1, if you'll read it with me. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. Did you ever notice, have you noticed out there that your struggles, your fight's harder? Perilous times are here, man. This is not last days, this is last hours. We do not know what's next. We can assume. The Spirit will reveal us things to come. What he's doing is preparing us. Like I said, we're in this room right now in preparation for what's about to happen. For men will be lovers of themselves. That's the first thing that's going to happen. Lovers of money. That's the second thing. Boasters, proud. Oh, praise God. Blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying his power, and from such people turn away. For these are sort that creep into ministries and make captives of gullible individuals, load them down with sins and led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Some people just keep going to Bible studies, but because of what they're doing out of Bible study, out of services, the devil comes and steals the seed, and they're always learning but can't come to the truth because they're always handing the seed back over to the devil every time they get something. Because they'd rather exchange it for the ways of the world. Because if they held on to that seed, they couldn't have friendship with the world. Oh, hallelujah. These are fruits of deception. These are fruits of deception. Those are associations with familiar and seducing spirits. Taken captive by darkness. There's two areas that the devil approaches us on. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. Thank God he who is in us is greater than he is in the world, right?
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus, for the Holy Ghost who tells us all things to come. What do you mean you don't have the Holy Ghost? You better get filled tonight. Glory to God. 1 Peter chapter 5. Now there's two areas that the devil approaches. In verse 6 it says, therefore humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time and not you exalt yourself. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Oh, one of the things people have such a hard time, God has loved me, doesn't love me. I think I'll just try and fix this care myself. Oh, that's not your daddy. That's the old daddy. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Everybody's going through it. If you're not going through it, one way or another, you got a house full. Well, the devils aren't bothering me. Of course not. They're all living in you. He approaches as a roaring lion. You know what he's doing there right now? You know why he approaches as a roaring lion? Because he's trying to impart fear. That's one of his objectives right now globally. To impart fear to mankind. To impart fear. What, through all these terrorist acts and everything that's going on? I mean, people are afraid. If you don't know the Lord, people are afraid. But that's what he's imparting right now. Look at the nations that pulled out of Iraq because they were being attacked. Talk about fear. Bunch of weenies call himself a military and leave because of terrorists. Talk about shame to that country. It's phenomenal. All of these nations that the United States went and rescued them. I mean, you think about it. Germany, Britain, all of those places, all over the world. The United States rescued them, Japan, and rebuilt them. And many of them turned their backs. France, we rescued France too. All of these nations that have turned their back on us now. See, they don't turn their back on us, they turn their back on God. Every nation that turns its back from the Lord and turns its ways against Israel will go in captivity. That's why they're coming against the United States, is because we are tied to Israel. Hallelujah. That means we already won. So he approaches as a roaring lion. You know, he makes himself so known sometimes. You know, the Bible tells us that the fruits of the flesh are such and such in Galatians, right? That's roaring lion. That's known. That's really known. You can tell somebody by their fruits, can't you? Amen. You know? Go to Genesis 3. You know, we know that's kind of what we call easy exposure. You know, pridefulness, you know, and all these pornography, adultery, addictions, those are fruits of a roaring lion. But in Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1, it says, now the serpent was more what? More cunning, which means subtle, than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So we see here that he was comes as a roaring lion, now he comes as a cunning beast. He is a subtle beast, isn't he? Subtle, speaking. Has God said? He's always challenging you very subtly. Very subtly. He imparts that little seed of rebellion. Very subtly. And I shared at a Friday night service, I believe, and what the Spirit imparted in me was one of the great last moves in this final warning, and it's going to increase, there's going to be such a flood of demonic activity that's going to be unknown. It is going to be the most subtle attack of the powers of darkness has ever been. It's going to be so subtle that you're not going to know it until it's too late. Many people will fall from the faith. Many things are going to happen. It's happening right now. It's going to be so subtle that you won't even know it. You'll see your own fruit begin to manifest and go, man, how did that happen? How did I end up in this? What's he doing? He's causing his church to come together in unity, and he's causing his children to come together closer to him. God's causing that. Why? To escape the flood. This last day will be so subtle, but so dangerous that love will grow very cold. Divisions will manifest. An independent spirit will be produced. And it will produce the false will of God. Hearts will be hardened. producing dullness of the Holy Spirit and truth. I want to repeat that. This last day attack is going to be so subtle and so dangerous that love will grow cold. Love will grow cold. The Word says that people sit at your table having a form of godliness, but their heart will be hatred towards you. Love will grow cold. Divisions and strife will manifest. An independent spirit will be produced, and it will produce the false will of God. Hearts will become hardened and producing dullness to the Holy Spirit of truth, but will open themselves up to spirits of familiarity. Such a subtle move will be so dangerous. You know, you got to understand something. The enemy, even in our attacks, in the regular military, we try to do the most subtle, sly move we can, right? And then you pull the trigger. You push the button. Hey, look at ants. They're pretty smart, you know, pretty strong. I mean, come on, all of these ants, you don't even know they're on you. Next thing you know, somebody hits the button and there's 14 of them on your feet and they go, like, whoa. They're very subtle. You didn't even know they were there. And they never stop, do they? Man, I don't care what you do. Those ants are going to get whatever. They don't stop. That's how the devil is. He doesn't stop. His army doesn't stop. And it won't stop till the end. So subtle. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, starting at verse 1. Now the Spirit expressly says that when? Latter times. Latter times. Are we in latter times?
Yeah.
You got that right. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will what? Depart from the faith, giving what? Heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. You know what a deceiving spirit is? Familiar spirit. Speaking lies and hypocrisy. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. Forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. So he's saying that those who believe and know the truth are going to be deceived by familiar spirits. They are going to be imitators of truth. They will quote the scriptures to push you out of position.
Amen.
You'll have to be so sensitive. You have to be so close to the Lord. Remember, Jesus was attacked with the word, wasn't he?
Amen.
So will you be. This subtle, subtle attack. It's going to be by familiar spirits. Imitators of truth. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And verse 2 it says, what? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. Are we doing that right now?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Verse 3. Read it with me. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. Yeah, they're going to look for ones that don't want to preach. Hey, man, that person doesn't preach, always saved. Come on, man, I want to be able to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior and go out, fornicate, use drugs, and do this. I just can't stay in that kind of a fellowship. See, they're going to go look for places where preaching is according to the will of man, and not the will of God. Oh, hallelujah. For they will turn their ears away from the what? Truth. And be turned aside to fables. New Age movements. You know, people have been lost by New Age movements. Look what happened with Darwin. I mean, he was a believer. He fell into a fable and led many captive. Does everybody understand that? And led many captive. Even Freud, he led many captive. He was a believer at one time and led many captive. Yeah, he had a couple of good attributes, didn't he? The rest of them brought people into bondage. But you be what?
Watchful
in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist and fulfill your what? Your ministry or your calling. Fulfill the will of God. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow Him. Amen? Turn ears from the truth. They're going to look or run to, for teachers at places to satisfy their own desires, holding offense, hurts, wounds, self-inflicted by pride. Twisting words of truth for self-promotion and gain, removing from the flocks, taken captive by the serpent and used to bring others captive in the soulish arena. Do I need to repeat that? Okay, I just ask it. What's going to happen is they're looking for places to satisfy their own desires. They hold offense, hurts, and wounds. Self-inflicted by pride. Twisting words of truth for self-promotion and gain. Removing from flocks, taken captive by the serpent, and used to bring others captive in the soulish arena. You have to get the tape. Go to Matthew 13. Matthew 13. Did you ever get to talk to someone who's, woe is me? Man, it's difficult for them to come out of that, isn't it? That's such a subtle... The next thing you know, it's, woe is me. Nobody loves me. That's a soulish arena, just in case you want to know. People led by feelings, holding on to hurts. Those hurts are a soulish arena. Pity parties. And Matthew 13. Glory to God. Did I say Matthew?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. 15, verse 15. 13, 15. Would you read it with me? For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed. That's powerful. Their eyes have closed. You know why? They've closed because they're caught up in self. They're hard of hearing. When you get sucked up in the soulish arena, you can't hear. Because it always brings emotion and stress and whatever. Woe is me. You can't hear. And believe me, those familiar spirits love when you're snagged there. Those are the only ones you have a good time hearing. Familiar spirits. They speak real loud, don't they? Lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand what's going on, right? Yeah. With their hearts and turn from the soulish arena so that they could be what?
Healed.
Healed. You know, remember when Jesus went in to heal that girl that was sick, everybody was in their mourning, wasn't it? He threw everybody out. He said, come on, let's get out. Get the soul out of here so that this child can get healed. That's the woe is me syndrome.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Become more dull, begin to turn to self and the world in such a subtle way. Such a subtle way. Go to Luke 8. In other words, it talks about always learning and never coming to the truth. Always learning and never coming to the truth. You know, always running and never coming to the truth. How many people do you know that are on a, you know, addicted or whatever, right? And they always try to change geographical areas, right? I mean, come on, we tried it. Man, I tried it. I moved from one place to another trying to get... But I couldn't outrun the devil. I couldn't outrun my own garbage. I was just taking it right with me. The devil was in me then. You know, he tried to convince me in a subtle way. You know, maybe you ought to just move away from these people. And move over here. That must be God. That must be my higher power. And you move over there, you find a job, you try to change, you start hanging around with other people, and all of a sudden, just that serpent slides in and says, "Hi. You remember me? Yeah, man, where you been? I've been looking for you." Next thing you know, you're spitting venom because you just got bit. Snagged by the familiar spirit. Snagged. Remember, you can't outrun. You must turn and fight. Never can you outrun. You must turn and fight. Amen? Oh, you're taking everything with you. I've tried it. And lost. I even tried to get involved in other relationships. I got involved with a woman that had two kids. I destroyed everything I touched then. Nothing would work. Nothing would work. So Jesus finally delivered me, healed me, and set me apart for Him. Then He said, "Wait on me." And when you don't know what to do, wait. I'll bring you where you need to be. When He started with pouring out His Spirit here, He said, "Guy, don't move." I had no idea what He was going to do here. I thought we were just having a good old time on Friday night little prayer sessions here, and little Bible studies in this living room. I didn't know what He was going to do, but He said, "Don't move." I said, "Okay." Now I can't move. Praise God. Hallelujah. In Luke chapter 8. Oh, to God be the glory. Look at verse 15 in Luke 8. It says, "But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it." Say, "Keep it."
Keep it.
"And bear fruit with" what?
Patience.
"Patience," which means endurance. You know, it's like when the football gets handed over to you and you're running, man, you're keeping it with endurance. You know? You're keeping it. Endurance. Praise God. Yeah, you're enduring. Praise God. Amen. So some fell, and this is talking about the word and so forth, some fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with endurance. In other words, they don't hand it back over, they hold on to it. No matter what they feel, no matter what they think, no matter what the circumstances are around them, they're holding on to it and not letting go.
Amen.
Amen? And that's what you must do with your call. You must hold on to it and not let go. Well, you don't know, I don't know what my call is. Praise God. Hold on to that and don't let go. Because it will manifest. You will know. Revelation chapter 2. You got to fight to keep it, right? You don't want to be a weenie. You want to be a warrior. Revelation chapter 2. And we're not the butt ministry, right? We're the head, not the tail. Hallelujah. Revelation chapter 2. But. Those are excuses. Justifications. Make your yeses yes and your noes noes. So you know. Revelation chapter 2, I guess I better go there. In verse 11, it says, "He who has an ear," what? "Amen. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be" what? "Hurt by the second death." Let me tell you something. When you overcome, you don't get hurt. What happens is people get hurt and they can't overcome. It stops them. puts them right in their tracks. I've been offended. I've been hurt. I was offended and hurt when my neighbor came, got all over my case for something real dumb. I got hurt. I was like, man, got hurt. A little angry. But the Holy Ghost kept my mouth shut. I took all my thoughts right into the prayer closet, blurted it all out to my Father, got refreshed and got healed, pulled that dart out, blessed her and forgave her. Then sent my wife over to talk to her. That's called wisdom. Praise God. You as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. Mark 13. Mark 13. Glorious. Oh, praise God. I probably need to give this tape to my neighbor, huh? Talk about seeing fire coming out of somebody's mouth. And it wasn't Holy Ghost fire. Well, in Matthew 13 and verse 20. Mark 13, verse 20. Make up our minds. Is everybody there? Glory to God. Would you read it with me? And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Wow. He shortened the days. Does everybody realize that the days are being shortened right now? I mean, time is going quick. Quick. Days are being shortened. We're getting up to that arena where the days will be very short. And it's for the elect's sake. In other words, the believer's sake. Because deception is going to be so great, that subtle deception is going to be so great. Many will take snare to it. Then if anyone says to you, look, here is the Christ, or look, here is he is there, do not believe it. For false Christs and false prophets will rise up and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the what?
Elect.
If possible, even the elect. In other words, many of the elect are going to be deceived. That's why you must be close to the Lord. We were ministering to this woman in Tampa one time, and she had called us all freaked out, said she saw Mary. Sister Mary, Mother Mary, on a wall in downtown Tampa. Everybody was running down to her gathering, looking at this. She said, what do I do? I said, don't go. It's baloney. Daddy wouldn't send Mary when he can come himself. First of all, he's working through his body, isn't he? He's speaking to people through dreams and visions. Amen? He's not going to send, unless you get a visitation from an angel, but he certainly wouldn't use a cheap building to expose himself. Amen? And he wouldn't use those who are dead. Hallelujah. And those were just kind of like one of the signs. And I was like, man. And we hear about statues bleeding and all kinds of stuff, you know. Talk about demonic activity. Now people are worshiping these statues. You know. Oh, hallelujah. 1 John chapter 4. And verse 1 through 6. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. Don't believe every voice. Don't believe every person. But test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Now, false prophets, again, are just not prophets. The fact the Bible says those who confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior is a part of the spirit of prophecy. Does everybody understand that? So he's not talking about people that are saying, thus says the Lord. These are believers. But this you know, the spirit of God, every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come into the flesh is of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come into the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, which we have heard was coming and is now already in the world. The spirit of Antichrist is an unloving spirit. He comes against the move of the spirit, and he is a familiar spirit. He says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. That's why relationship with the Holy Spirit is so essential. But you must be careful in that subtle arena. If you've lost sight of the Holy Spirit and think you're associating with him. See, you don't even know the spirits by their fruits too. If it's bringing you exaltation, you better be careful. It says, they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the what?
Error.
Spirit of error. The spirit of error is a familiar spirit. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So. In verse 9, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Praise be to God. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by who? The Spirit, and believe in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Rejected. They were rejected because they rejected the love of truth. The love of truth. The love of God, because God is truth. Amen? That's lying wonders, those signs and so forth. All these subtle things. And one of the things is that hardened heart and that self-righteousness. All of these things are just subtle things. So you don't even realize it until it's already there. And it's like, man, how did I get there? So subtle. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. You know how many people believed in healing and don't believe in it now? Because they're angry with God? Many. How many people have been hurt by the church or an organization? They haven't been hurt by the church. Been hurt by an organization. Blessed are those who endure. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7, would you read it with me? You ran well, who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion, say persuasion.
Persuasion.
Does not come from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the what? Oh, that little leaven was so subtle. That little, you know, the Bible says it takes the size of a mustard seed for faith. It takes the size of a mustard seed for unbelief. It only takes a weedy, weedy bit. That corruptible seed gets slid in there, and the next thing you know, it's growing and bearing fruit. And it's affecting your soulish arena, your emotions, your thoughts. It's affecting everything. Man, how did that happen? He's saying you did so well. Who hindered your walk? What happened? That persuasion, that subtle impartation was not from your Father above, but from... Amen. From the devil. It just takes a little seed. That's why you and I must curse those corruptible seeds every single night before you go to bed. And every associated spirit with those seeds, they've got to go. Amen? You know, God is saying clean house. We must clean this house and clean the houses we live in. From accursed things. One of the first things that's going to happen in this subtle persuasion, I want to share with you three major subtle attacks. The first subtle attack is going to be the subtle compromise. It's going to be subtle compromise. It's going to be so subtle that there's going to be a slight compromise. It's like what you used to be so fire on and you knew, you begin to compromise just slightly. That's not your father. Slight, subtle, so subtle compromise. That's how you listen, when you finally acknowledge that, when you finally see it, it's like, uh-oh, somebody's there. Somebody's there. Devil in the house. The first attack will be subtle compromise, resulting in another mind. It will result in another mind. It will result in other thoughts. It will be so, so subtle. Go to Matthew 12. The subtleness in resulting in another mind will bring division within. It will bring division within you. Matthew 12, verse 25. How many of y'all know the devil knows the word of God?
Amen.
Read verse 25 with me, will you? But Jesus knew their what?
Thoughts.
Say thoughts.
Thoughts.
That means it's mind, right? And said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to what? Desolation, in every city or house divided against itself, or what? Do you think the devil knows that? Well, hallelujah. He's going to plant that little mustard seed of compromise. Why? He's trying to cause division in you. He's trying to cause division in you. Next thing you know, you're in confusion. You don't know which way to go. Now you begin to look at everybody else instead of yourself. The only time you look to yourself is a woe is me, because the devil is now bringing you into the soulish arena. See, that's where he wants to bring you, in his soulish arena. And he can slap the soul out of you. But it still stays in you. It really doesn't come out. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 1 through, I don't know, 3 or something. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. With lowliness, all lowliness, with gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the what? Unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. One of the things the devil wants to do is bring division. You see, the unity in the Spirit, first of all, is your spirit in unity with the Holy Ghost. And then a unity in, with brotherhood. Amen. Unity in the Spirit. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. So the first subtle attack will be compromise. It will result in another mind bringing division within and causing double-mindedness because of no unity with the Spirit. The first attack will be a subtle compromise resulting in another mind bringing division within and double-mindedness because of lack of unity in the, with the Holy Spirit. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And verses 3 and 4. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the what? Falling away comes first, and the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He sits in the temple of God, calling himself God. Are you the God, temple of God?
Amen.
Hello.
Amen.
The second major attack is going to be a subtle pride. Subtle pride. Such a subtle pride. It'll be an exaltation of self. In Daniel chapter 12, in verse 4, he said, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the what?
End.
Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." I want to share something with you. Knowledge is increasing tremendously. So is revelation knowledge. Now, you must be careful. Paul realized that his revelation knowledge was beginning to puff him up. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Such subtle pride. Remember, the Bible says that pride always comes before a fall, right? Hallelujah. You know, so he throws in that compromise. Pride. Yeah. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Paul said, "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the what?
Revelations.
A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." He was struggling. "Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me.'" Oh, to God be the glory. Knowledge will increase. Revelation knowledge will increase. How smart or by revelation has nothing to do. You must be careful because it will produce pride. Boasting in one's revelation, not looking in the area of weakness. See, he's saying, listen, I realize that my weakness is what allows the power of God to rest on me, not my strength. When people say, you know, I'm strong in this area, but I'm weak in that, man, let me tell you something. You better give where you think you're strong into God right away. I'm smart in this, but I don't know this. You better give what you're smart in to God. Because the devil used that to puff you up. He was trying to get to Paul with the revelation knowledges. He was trying to get to Paul. Let me share something with you. Did you ever... I did a little bit of college, and I talked to some of these professors. They were so professored out, it was ridiculous. They spoke so far over my head, I couldn't get it. But I'll tell you what, you speak to them about Jesus, and they can't get it either. It's difficult for them, that intellect. Some of them, you know what, when you speak to them about Jesus, they look down at you. Because they think what they know is so much better. That is deception. Big time. That is deception. Isn't it? That is pride. Full blown. So that's why you and I must walk with a humble spirit. Amen? Willing to submit to one another. Submitted to God is the only way that you're going to be able to resist the devil. And I've always shared with everyone, what you know doesn't rescue you. That's who you know. What you know should run you to Him. But what you know can't rescue you. Only He can. Amen? So don't get caught up in that arena, that subtle pride of what you know. Or how strong you are in that area. Because you're going to find that God will pull the rug from you and humble you if you're really His servant. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Oh, to God believe. Go to Luke 11. Luke chapter 11. So subtle. It's going to be the subtle subtlest attack. Luke 11 and verse 39. Then the Lord said to him, "Now you Pharisees make the outside of the cup and dish clean, but your inward part is full of greed and wickedness." Greed and wickedness. The third subtle thing, most subtle thing that's going to happen is there's going to be a subtle greed. It's going to be that little mustard seed of greed, which causes covetousness. Greed. It produces covetousness, selfishness, love of money, false stewards of God's money also. It says, "Foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inward inside also? But rather give alms of such things as you have, then indeed all things are clean to you. But woe to you Pharisees, for you tithe mint and rue and all manner of herbs, and pass by the justice and the love of God. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone." You know, there's still some people that have a hard time tithing. It's amazing to me. We get a tithe check from, praise God we get a tithe check. But we get a tithe check for $14.35. I'm like, whoa. I don't mind the $14, but man, at least round it off to $15. That's called greed. Afraid to let it go. It's not ours anyways, right? Can you imagine getting a check for $15,001? $15,001. Holding on to that 99 cents or that one. Praise God. You can't outgive God, can you? No. That spirit of greed. Ooh wee. People are willing to go through great lengths for work. And they'll kill for a job, especially the one they want. Praise God. That's greed. That's subtle. Yeah, but I need to support my family, and I need to do this, and I need to do that. Don't you think God knows that?
Amen.
Amen. He says he meets all of our needs according to his riches and glory. What you and I need to do is just stay in position so everything flows right to it. Amen. How many times have you taken a job because of the money? And you realize it wasn't the right job. In fact, it usually didn't last long. And you ended up with no money anyways. Greed. Oh, hallelujah. Produces selfishness, covetousness. Covetousness means you can't let go. You want to covet everything. You want it, and you can't let go of it. It produces false stewards of God. Go to Proverbs 1. You know how many believers are sitting on a bunch of money for retirement? A load of money. More than they need, and they won't support the kingdom of God. That's phenomenal. God allowed them to be rich, and now they take vacations every other week. And they're living life to the fullness while the children are starving in other nations. In fact, they're starving right here at home. There are a lot of homeless children in this country. Proverbs chapter 1. We must become good stewards of God's money. It's essential. Not wasting foolishness. In verse 15, would you read it with me? "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they make haste to shed blood. Surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners." Wow. Now, I want you to just look at something here. Who's the owner of your life? Amen. It says greed takes away the life of its owner. Hello? That means that person turns away from his owner. You must be careful. That's what's happening right now. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. This subtle move. In this subtle move of greed, there's going to be a lot of promotion of material. And this covetousness, it will show, look what I have. And I have a form of competition. Even competition in the spirit. You know, there's much competition even right now. Who's more spiritual? Who moves in the gifts? What's this? That's ridiculous. You don't judge an individual by the gifts. Amen?
Amen.
You don't judge them by the gifts. You judge an individual by their fruit. Amen?
Amen.
By their fruit. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he is what?
Proud.
Knowing what?
Nothing.
But is what? Obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reveling, evil suspicions, useless wranglings of men and of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Man, it's heavy. Who suppose that godliness is a means of gain, from such withdraw yourself. Hello. Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing with these, we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and snare, and into many foolish, harmful lusts, which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. The love of money is trouble. Amen? And that's one of the areas of greed, love of money. People think that money can buy everything. Can't. See, you don't have to chase money when you're in divine position. Money will come to you, because God will be supplying you the seed to sow. And as you sow the seed, God sends it back. You know, when it's opportunity, when God says bless whomever, whatever, praise God. It's an honor. It's a blessing to be able to help people. You know how many times that, because we were foolish stewards of God's money, that when it was time to bless someone, we couldn't. We couldn't because we were foolish stewards of God's money. We got sucked up into buying a car we shouldn't have, or buying a material we shouldn't have, or whatever it is. And there was somebody in need, and we couldn't do it. That's bondage. I know many believers that are so bound by their debt. And they're bound in debt because of greed. Because of what they want when they want it. And they can't get out. They can't serve God because they're too busy working trying to pay off their debt. Those are bad stewards of God's money. Many times, many people are associated with greed. They won't do anything unless there's something in it for them.
Amen.
If I can't get something out of it, I don't want it. Forget it. I'm not volunteering for that. What's in it for me? It's called sowing in the kingdom. It's laboring on to the Lord. Hallelujah. Go to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. This subtle move is going to be great. It's going to be unknowing. In Matthew 25. Oh, hallelujah. We've heard this one over and over. And the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were what? Wise. And 5 of them were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they were all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming, go out to meet him." Then all those who arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered wisely, said, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But you go to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready, say ready.
Ready.
Praise God. Went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. One of the things the devil does not want you to do, he wants to prevent you from being ready. He wants you to be caught in worldliness. He wants you to get caught serving him. I've got a couple examples I'd like to share with you. 1 Samuel 15 and verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel saying, "I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me." Wow. He's turned back from following me. Now I want to show you how he turned back from following him. It was so subtle. "And has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, 'Saul went to Carmel. Indeed, he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal.' Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, 'Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord.'" He actually thought he was hearing from God and doing the right thing. "But Samuel said, 'What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and lowing of the oxen which I hear?' And Saul said, 'They have brought them from the Amalekites. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed.'" Oh, he thought he was doing a great thing. And Samuel said to Saul, "Be quiet, bonehead. And I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night." And he said to him, "Speak on." And Samuel said, "When you were little in your own eyes," in other words, when you were humble, "were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go and utterly destroy the sinners and Amalekites and fight against them until they are what? Consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord?' And Saul said to Samuel, 'But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord.'" But I did it. "And gone on the mission on which the Lord sent me, and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of those plunder, sheep and oxen, the best of the things which should have been utterly destroyed to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal.'" And Samuel said, "Is the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and heed the fat of the rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord has rejected you from being king." Now he thought he was doing the right thing. He figured, well, we can kill some money and sell this dude and take this oxen and offer it to God. They're the best sheep of the oxen. Man, the Lord's going to love this. But he still disobeyed God. Was it subtle pride? Reasoned. Yes. I know what I've been told, but I think I'll improve it. I think I'll change it. I know what God has called me to do, but I think I'll do this for a little while before I do that. I know what God has counseled me with, but I think I'll just take part of it and take my own. That's called rebellion, and it's witchcraft. You lose the trust of the Lord when you compromise what he says. You lose his trust, and then you have to earn it again. Amen?
Amen.
That's a powerful example. Look at Acts 16. Did everybody understand that?
Amen.
What happened with Saul? Oh, that's gone, man. I'm telling you, that subtle pride. Acts 16, in verse 16, somewhere around there. Yeah. Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination, which is a familiar spirit, met us, who brought her masters much profit by fortune-telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, "These men are the servants of a Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation." Now you would think that, hey, that must be God. There are those who are preaching salvation that are still associated with familiar spirits. Just because people are out there preaching the word doesn't mean that they're not associated with familiar spirits, does it? And this she did for many days. I think it finally irritated Paul. But Paul, greatly annoyed, I guess it did, turned and said to the Spirit, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And he came out that very hour. But when her master saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. Let me share something with you. When God begins to use you to expose, the devil wants to bring you to the authorities. Because of that modern-day Pharisee. See, it's our responsibility to expose. First, we must expose ourselves. Once you've exposed yourself before God, then God will use you to expose others. If you haven't allowed God to expose you, then shut up. Hello? If you're not allowing God to expose you and taking his counsel from his office or from his throne room, you be quiet. You got no right saying anything about anyone else. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
Amen. So we see that familiar spirit. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 21. That's subtleness, you know. 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. Is everybody there?
Amen.
Would you read verse 1 with me? Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. How did he move him? That subtle compromise. You know why? Because he knew he wasn't supposed to count the people. But Satan moved him to number Israel. Go to verse 9. Then the Lord spoke at Gad, David's seer, saying, "Go and tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things." Why? Because he blew it. "Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you." So Gad came to David and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine, 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days of the sword of the Lord." Nice choices, huh? "The plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me." Why? Because David disobeyed God. For much is given, much is required. Let me share that with you.